Welcome to Empower Church. Thank you for joining us today. We are a church that has been called by God, set apart by Him, and bound together by His love. A church that aims to reach the community, the nation, and the world with a message of hope. We hope this message will build your faith, give you godly perspective, and leave you empowered to impact your community and the world.
Are you watching from this morning? Won't you just lift your hands to Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus can still change everything? Do you still believe that Jesus is the difference? And there we are this morning. I just want to, before I greet anybody, I want to take this moment just to pray. And let's pray. And I pray this morning that Jesus will touch you, change you. There we are. And today, that today will not be a normal day. Today will be a day of difference. Amen. So Father, we just pray, Lord Jesus, Lord, I pray that everything, Father, that people have been defined by, except through the love and the scandalous hope of Jesus Christ, Lord, that will be removed in this day. Thank you, Jesus, that we are not what some say, Lord. It's not always what I have, it's who I have. And Father, this morning we come reliant, we come dependent upon you, Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we reach out to you like the lady of the issue of blood. Father, we call out your name like there's two men, Father, that were blind. We call out like blind Bartimaeus, Lord. We call out on the limb like Zacchaeus, Lord. We trust in your unfailing love. We trust in your unfailing power. We trust in your unfailing hope, Lord Jesus. You're the one that's in love with us. And the best we can do back, Father, is to worship you and to glorify you and to lift up your name. And this morning, Lord Jesus, we want you to know, Lord, we love you. We are in love with you. You are the one that we love. And Father, we lift up your name, Lord Jesus, Lord, with the angels, with creation. We worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that was and is to come, Lord, the one that will soon split the heavens open, Lord, that will come with a cloud of witnesses of the angels under his authority and men under his authority. And Lord, at that day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Father, in this day, we lift up your name. We lift up Jesus' name. We lift up your name, Father. And we just thank you for the power of the one that lives inside of us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And all of God's people say, amen and amen and amen. There we are. Good morning to every single person that is watching us from all the different platforms. And I just want to encourage every single one of you, good morning to Faith TV that is watching us now for the first time. Good morning to, and by the way, not just want to greet them, but want to say a massive hello to Faith TV. We have good morning to Africa, as the gospel is spreading all over the world right now through Empower Church. Amen. So good morning to Faith TV. Good morning to Faith Now, which is the Apple Faith TV. Good morning to Cape Town. Good morning to Secunda. Good morning to Witbank. Good morning to Durban. Good morning to Johannesburg. And more important than anything else, good morning to all the Empower people that are watching us all over South Africa. And I just want to say today is going to be not just any day, it's going to be a good day because Jesus Christ is still in control. Amen. And so just want to say good morning. And as the gospel grows across the planet, who of you believe that we are in the greatest hour of restoration and of revival that we have ever seen? I tell you, it might not feel like it, it might not seem like it, but it's in these moments that God does the absolutely impossible. And we are in for the impossible. We are in for a move of God. We are in for restoration. We are in for revival. And so I just want to say good morning. And I want to take this morning to speak to you about one of the closest topics that I have to my heart, and it is about the forgotten God. And as I was speaking on this and as I was thinking on this scripture, just God started to speak to me about the importance of the Holy Spirit in this time, in this hour, and in this moment. And as I was thinking about this and as God was starting to speak to me, I don't know where you are watching from this morning, but I believe that, I don't know your circumstances, I don't know your situation, But what I do know is that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I do know that the season is going to pass because it's just a season. And I know that we will going to be stronger. We're going to come out of this better. We're going to rebuild more. We're going to advance quicker for the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because God is for us. And if God is for us, it doesn't matter who's against us. Amen. And as I was thinking on those thoughts, the Lord started to speak to me about Acts chapter number 1, verse number 4, where it speaks about the only thing that makes us different than anything and everything that is around us is the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. And there you guys are watching from all the different locations and homes this morning, and also from our different event locations. I just want to say this, that we have to understand this. The one thing that makes us different from the world is we have the Spirit of God living inside of us. And I hope there we are, you're giving a massive loud amen to that. Because God does not want us to be intellectual people. God doesn't even want us to be informed people. God doesn't even want us to be knowledgeable people. God wants us to be people that are filled with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So there you are. I want you to have an expectancy, because I'm going to charge you this morning to lay hands, to cast out devils, to heal the sick. And we're going to ask you this morning very specifically to pray for people for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Because it is the Spirit of God inside of us that makes us completely different. It is the Spirit of the Lord inside of us that is the difference, that is the change, that is the separator. Amen. And so the Bible says in Acts chapter number 1, verse number 4, the Bible says these words. It says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart, but wait." Jesus' words, wait. Verse number 8 then says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when I read this word wait, it struck me that the disciples at this stage, and please listen to me, they were the most knowledgeable people about Jesus that has ever walked the planet. They saw him raise the dead. They saw him multiply the fish and the bread. They saw him do miracles upon miracles upon miracles. They literally ate of them. They slept of them. They walked of him. And for 3.5 years, everywhere where Jesus went, they were there. In other words, these boys had a lot of information and they had a lot of knowledge. Yet Jesus says, information is not going to be enough. Knowledge is not going to be enough. I'm going to give you power. And he says to them, wait. And so when I read this, what jumped into my spirit was this. Without the Holy Spirit, we will be able to do nothing. We can be a very informed people. We can be very intellectual people. And I know the Bible says my people perish for a lack of knowledge. But listen, it goes deeper than that. I think people perish because even though if they have the knowledge, they're not doing anything with that knowledge or with that revelation. Are you there? Are you with me? Because information without revelation never becomes activation. In other words, I can have a lot of things I know about, but unless I know the one that has introduced me to all the things I know about, I will forget the reason why I have the knowledge in the first place. In other words, I never need to know about something if it doesn't lead me to someone. The information of Jesus always needs to lead me to the revelation of Jesus. And it's Jesus doesn't want me to introduce information about him to somebody. Jesus wants me to introduce himself to somebody. Oh, come on, are you there? Are you with me this morning? Come on, there we are. Give Jesus a shout to do something. Because, listen, I cannot help people. You cannot help people if we give them information. We can only change people based on the one that we have. That is why that's why Jesus himself is very much against just information. He doesn't want us to be informed. He wants us to be changed. Can I say it again? What good will it do if we are very well informed, yet we don't change? I mean, one of the most weirdest seasons of, you know, something that aggravates me, and I'll say this again and again, you know, churches are limited to 50, yet we see marches, which has got thousands of people in, And we see malls. The other day I was in a mall where they had a mall where they say 13,000 people may be coming into this mall. And I thought, where has the value system gone? That is shopping now more important than the power of the Holy Spirit? Is shopping more important than to be together with the saints and to worship the only one worthy to be worshipped? Come on, are you with me? And if it doesn't make you angry, it makes me angry, because obviously there's a blatant attack against the power of the church. Because the church, you and I, we are the only ones that can bring a change. Not because we're intellectual, not because we dress better, not because we smile better, but because we are carriers. We are carriers of the kingdom of God. We are carriers of the Spirit of God. And because we are carriers, we are changing agents. Wherever we go, we can upset the devil. We can cast out his kingdom. We can heal the sick. We can raise the dead. We can fill people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can get people restored, changed, activated back into the kingdom. The lost can be found. The 99, the one can come back. The lost coin can be restored. The prodigals can return. The Josephs can come out of prison. The Daniels can be visited in the lion's den. The Moseses can have their fire bush experience. The Abrahams can have their encounter. The Jacobs can have their moment at the rock. The Saul can have their Damascus. But without the church being fully open, that the way we can do this, South Africa cannot live. But with the church opened, with the church being doing what we can do, we can change the nation. We can shift the course. We can bring back the sons and the daughters of God. Because why are we passionate about Jesus? Because Jesus is passionate about us. Why are we worthy to be giving him everything? Because he gave us everything. Why are we worthy to take all the lashes? Because he took them all. Why are we worthy to stand up in the 13th round? Because he walked across up a hill one day all alone, ashamed, naked, afraid, and all by himself. And that is why we will never forget. We can never stop chasing the one that chased after us. I cannot tell you, there's never been a moment, there's never been a day that I've been so hungry for the power of God to come into my body, to use my body, to use my vessel, and so that we can be the change. And so there we are. I pray that the electricity of God will come into your homes, will come into your events, and that you will say, they will not stop the gospel that is inside of you, because the kingdom is not upon you. The kingdom is within you. The kingdom is something that you live inside of you. You belong to the kingdom that cannot be shaken. There's no sickness, there's no virus, there's no death. And even if we die, we are with the Lord, in the body with the Lord, out the body with the Lord. The Bible says this. Come on, where is our faith? We need to believe that we are still the ones that can wait for him, and we need to believe that we are still the ones that are worthy to be used by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I pray that you say amen. I'm so aware that this morning that there's a fire that God wants to send to the earth, and there's vessels on the earth that have said, we have had enough. I don't know if I'm talking to the right people, but I am one of those. I'm saying I've had enough. I've had enough. If they stop me from doing what I want to do, then we'll go lay hands wherever we can. Because really, I don't know about you, we might be crushed, but we are not. We might be crushed, we might be hard pressed, we might be this, we might be that, but one thing we are not hungry for God. We are not thirsty for God. The Bible says, as a deer panteth for streams of living water, so my soul longs after you. I don't know where you are this morning, but my prayer is this, that you do not conform, that you do not conform, that you don't look like the world, that you don't act like the world, for you have not received the spirit of fear, but one of love, power, and a sound mind. That means I am the difference. Nothing about me. Listen, nothing about Christians speaks about normal. I am not born to be normal. I'm not here to be normal. I'm not here just to do Christianity for a moment and then die and go to Jesus. That is not how this works. We are here to shake the world, because we have 80 years if we're happy, and we are here for a moment in time to shake this earth for the kingdom. Come on. I want you to see these disciples waited for the Holy Spirit. And then the Bible says in Acts chapter number 3, they started to turn the world upside down. The same people that were afraid, 40 days later or 50 days later, Pentecost, suddenly Peter stands up. He says, I'm not afraid. I'm going to go and preach. What's the difference? Holy Spirit. He stands up, he preached, 3,000 men, the Bible says, give their life to the Lord, women not included here. And then the Bible says the gospel starts to grow rapidly, rapidly. And I love the disciples. Acts chapter number 3, they preach. Acts chapter number 4, they start to turn the world upside down. Acts chapter number 5, they start to be unstoppable. Acts chapter number 6, they get beaten. Then guess what they do? They ask God for more power. They're not saying to God, get us out of here, you know, just please come, Lord Jesus, come. And I know many of you are feeling like that today, but I want to prophesy to you this morning. Again, I say, I don't know your situation, but I have it on good authority today. And I want to prophesy to you this, that your life will see restoration. You will come back. You will be stronger. You will go further. You will fulfill the plans. You will fulfill the purpose. They might have walked out on you. They might have betrayed you. They might have stinged you. They might have slapped you once or twice. You might have been pushed back, but you're going to get stronger. You're going to become more vibrant because heaven is for you. Jesus is for you. God is for you. God has selected you. He has chosen you as a vessel in this hour. And to howl of what the devil says, to howl what some say, if he said you are in, you're in. If Jesus can stop under a tree of Zacchaeus that was a pimp of Rome, if Jesus can stand for a lady of the issue of blood, if Jesus could sit still for Mary Magdalene that was a prostitute, if Jesus can go and visit these people, Nicodemus that was a religious leader in John chapter 3, then why can't Jesus stop for you? Come on, he's still the God that stops. Oh, can I have an amen or something for that? He is still the God that stops. And I want to give you hope this morning. And I want to say to you this morning that there's something that the devil cannot stop. He can throw the kitchen sink at you, but there's something that he cannot stop. And this is the one thing he cannot stop. He cannot take your praise. He cannot take your worship. He cannot stop you from lifting your hands. He can try to whatever he tries, but he cannot take your worship. You have a weapon. It's, by the way, what he wants. Come on. The forgotten God. How have we forgotten God? Very, very simple. We have forgotten God in the way that we have forgotten that it's not knowledge that changes people. It is the power of Jesus Christ living inside of us that changes people. Jesus says this in John 14:16. He says, and I will pray the Father that he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. You know, and please excuse me this morning. I don't want to be hermeneutically, apologetically, you know, softy soft. I want to preach this morning because Jesus says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The word pray there is the Greek word aratuhan. It means a lawyer. Jesus is not just doing something. He's presenting a case. He is saying, Father, my people need your spirit. It needs the Holy Spirit. He's praying. He says, Father, they need the word. Another there is the Greek word allos. Allos means of the very same kind. In other words, born out of the same womb, out of the same nature, very much of the same. And then he uses this word helper. The word helper there is the Greek word parakletos. The word para means next to. The word kaleo means called. If you put these two together, it's a lawyer that presents a case before the Father saying, Father, we need you to send power to these people because they must go and change the world. They must shift the world for my name's sake. And remember in Matthew chapter number 10, Luke chapter number 10, Jesus sent the disciples out for the first time with power, his power. The Bible says the disciples come back and they say, Lord, the demons bow at your name. And Jesus says, don't find this worthy. Don't even give this attention that the demons shudder at the mention of my name. Rather be glad that your names are written in the book of life. In other words, Jesus says, be more glad that you are part of the kingdom because what you've just done, you're going to continue doing. This is not just a once-off. And then the Bible says from Matthew chapter number 10, Luke chapter number 10, you'll find that never again does the disciples ever walk in power until Jesus instructs them in Acts chapter number 1, verse number 4, where he says to them, wait. Luke 24:49, wait. Wait. Wait for what? Wait for the one. The Old Testament is the message of the Father. The New Testament is the message of the Son. And right now we are living in the message of the Holy Spirit. Let me say it again. Old Testament is the message of the Father. New Testament is the message of the Son. Right now we are living in the message of the Holy Spirit. And my call to you this morning is, what type of message are you going to live? Are you going to be afraid when we have people that have lived before us? Like Samson that lost his eyes but didn't forget his God. Like Joseph that sat in prison but didn't forget his dream. Like Daniel that was thrown in the lion's den yet he was not afraid. Like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego that was in the fire yet they believed in the one stronger than the fire. What will be our excuse, guys? Think of me. What will be our excuse when we stand in front of these people? They gave up everything for the one that they loved. We are not different. We can't have this different. We will have to fight for our faith. And we will need to believe in the one that fought for us. Because as I say again, restoration is coming. Revival is coming. And God is selecting children right now that will be carriers of this. But where does it start? It starts with a hunger and a thirst after Him. It starts with a desire to say, Lord Jesus, I don't want to be normal. Nothing about me is normal. I don't want to be a normal Christian living in a normal place, having normal kids. No, I want to be extraordinary. I want to live an extraordinary life. And the only thing that the devil can do is try to convince you that you are not extraordinary. He can tell you that you are bowed. He can tell you that you are blind. He can tell you that you are broken. And all of those things are lies because Satan himself knows that one touch from Jesus takes you from broken to healed. One touch from Jesus takes you from blind to seeing. One touch from Jesus takes you from prostitute to faithful witness. One touch. He knows. He's a firm believer in the power of Jesus. And that is why he will throw everything at you to try to quit. Oh, come on, are you there? But I know, as you know, there is power inside of you that is better than the power that is around you. And you know, as I know, that the power that is inside of you is stronger than the circumstances that is around you. Because I know, you know, that you are not here to let that is around you infiltrate that what is within you. I know, you know, that you have a great future, that you have a hope for tomorrow, that you have a purpose for tomorrow. There's a plan that God is busy working, and I know, you know, we are not of those that quit, and we are not of those that walk away. Why? There's a power inside of us. Come on, are you there? When I started ministry, and I'll just give you the story. When I started ministry, I studied everybody around me, and then I found out that there's one thing that most people don't have. They don't have power. They talk a lot, but they show nothing. They talk about this God that can save, yet they themselves don't demonstrate any power. And so my first hunt after God was, God, I want your power. And I hunted for that for years and years. And then he gave me his power in visitations. And then after I got his power, he said, now I want to introduce you why you have power. He said, power by itself is not enough. I need to give you the motive of power. And the motive of power is love. He says, now that you know my power, now I want to teach you why you have power. You have power because I want to heal this world. I want to save this world. I want to change this world. And that's the only reason why I gave you power. I didn't give you power to become famous. I didn't give you power to build a name for yourself. I gave you power because I wanted a witness in this side of the mountain with everything that I'm going to do for your life. But I wanted to give you the reason for the power. And the reason for the power is love. I love the world, I love the broken, I love the lost, I love the religious, I love the clean, I love the shamed, I love the well-dressed, I love the rich, I love the poor, and this power that you have inside of you can reach all of them. The reason for power is love. Oh, come on, are you there? Are you with me? Are you there? Oh, come on, guys. The power that is inside of us has got purpose. Save me, there we are. Purpose. The power inside of you has got purpose. Purpose is people. God so loves the world. He doesn't just love, He so loves. God is ridiculously in love with this world, and He will not give up, He will not give in, and He's not going to walk away from this world. It's His, it's not the devil's. Come on. And so, I want you just to understand what I've just said up to now, and it's so important that you get this morning. We can't forget about the Holy Spirit. And I know many of you say, but I won't forget. No, listen. If we forget about the power of the Holy Spirit, we will forget about everything that we are created to do. Because we are not created to do anything without Him. Everything that we have been created to do is because He's with us. Oh, come on, guys. Are you with me? So let me just read it again. Jesus says, wait. Wait in Jerusalem. Wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Until you are dressed with power from on high. And right at this stage, I want to just pray for our Faith TV audience as I bless them. And I just want to pray for them as we send them. And I want to pray as our Faith TV audience goes this morning, that you will be the change and the difference, and that you will not live a life that is ordinary, but extraordinary. So Father, as an empowered community right now, we bless and we pray for all the Faith TV people across Africa. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that they will receive power from heaven, that they will be the change, that they will be the cause of change wherever they go across the continent of Africa. We pray in Jesus' name. And so we bless them as they go in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. For the rest of Empower, are you ready? Are you ready for where you're watching me from? I want you to take a moment and share the gospel. Get the gospel out, because I'm right about halfway where I want to go. Amen. And I want to get you to a place of being empowered in this day. So there we are. Just share the gospel. In Romans chapter number 8, verse number 26. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 26. As Shannon also just joins me to my left. And as we share about, won't you just give a moment to, won't you just say hello to my wife? I brought Shannon on this morning. I thought, let's tag team. And by the way, we just want to say that for all the ladies that are out there, you are the ones that Jesus loves. Jesus is so committed to women. Jesus' wife is called the church ecclesia. He likes her so much, He died for her. So if you want to know how passionate we are about women, we are just about as passionate about ladies and ladies' dignity as what Jesus is about His church called Ecclesia. Amen. You want to say something?
Good morning, everyone. Empower Church. And it is always the biggest blessing to be on this stage and be able to speak to all of you. And ladies, you matter more than you know. God has destined you, He's called you, He's placed you in this season for a reason, and nothing you have faced is for nothing. And God just wants you to know that you are loved, you are precious, and you are powerful. You have a gifting upon your life that no one else has, and only you can bring to the table what you have. So please, ladies, remember this today. God loves you. And as my husband and I share the gospel this morning, I just want you to remember that every word that is said is tailored for you right now. Amen.
Amen. As we, Romans chapter number 8, verse number 26, as Shannon stands with me, it's such an important scripture. The Bible says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, listen carefully, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things I said to you. You have to understand, it's like this. Where two or more are gathered, everything is established. And like this morning, like I stand next to Shannon, we stand next to one another. You have to understand, you have a helper. You have somebody that's standing right next to you. His name is the Holy Spirit. And then the Bible says in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 26, it says, the helper whom I will send in my name. Let me read for you again. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. Now this word helper here again is the Greek word synantilambonai, and it means to be, syn means in cooperation with, anti means against, lambonai means to take hold of something and to receive it unto thyself. And this morning we want to encourage you and just say this, that you have a helper. His name is the Holy Spirit. And whatever and wherever you find yourself, you can just call upon the name of the Holy Spirit. You can say, Lord Holy Spirit, help me. And as you ask for the Holy Spirit to come and help you, what happens, He comes alongside you. He takes your hand, literally He takes your hand. And He starts to do Romans chapter number 8, verse number 14, which says this, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. So how does the Holy Spirit lead you? He leads you by your conscience, Romans chapter number 9, verse number 1. He leads you by circumstances. He leads you through people. He leads you through the word of the Lord, 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 to 17. But the most important way that He leads you is through His peace. Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 15. When the peace of God is absent, the Holy Spirit has stopped. Can I say that again? When the peace of God is absent, the Holy Spirit has stopped. And this morning, I want you to get that this morning, that you have a helper. He's on call the whole time. He's next to you. But you need to call for His help. And I want to encourage you, Shannon just says one more thing before she goes, that you would understand how much He's available next to you and with you.
Amen. It's such a vital truth. You must understand something about the Holy Spirit. He is with you. He has always been with you. You know, the Holy Spirit was called by God. He has a calling on His own divinity for why He's here on earth with you. And that is to be with you, to help you, to love you, to introduce you to Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of all. He is there for you every time you feel alone, every time you feel abandoned, every time you feel angry. Every time you think that things are too big or too huge to get over or face, the Holy Spirit is in those situations with you. And all He's asking from us is just hear me and be obedient. Hear me and be obedient. Because there's not a moment in every day where the Holy Spirit is not present and He is not gently taking you by the hand and saying, I've got this, let me get you through this. And I've called those moments walking on the water moments. There's every day you are faced with moments where you need to step out in faith and listen to God. And at that moment where you need to make a decision, usually fear tries to come in. And we've all been there. We've all been afraid. We've all sunk in the waves. But it doesn't matter. Even if you do, Jesus is still there to lift you out and to keep you going strong to the other side.
Thank you, Michael. Amen. Won't you just send some love or some hearts for Shannon? And she's going to come back a little bit later just to talk to ladies again. I want you to understand this morning as we, you know, I could have actually just stepped off the platform. You know, it's one of those things if your wife is more anointed than you. So, but praise be to God, she's my wife. So, hallelujah. Listen, men, while we're on that topic, just for a moment. Your wife, the way you treat your wife is what you understand about Jesus. The way you love your wife is the way you understand Jesus loves you. And ladies, I want to give you hope this morning. If you haven't been loved well, it's because men have not understood how much they are loved. But because a man, physical man, doesn't see your worth, doesn't mean Jesus doesn't. And the way that a natural person have maybe treated you does not define who you are. And I want to just say that because, ladies, we're on your side all the way. Jesus is on your side. We are on your side. And I just want to say to you this, your worth is never determined by a man, by the way. Ladies, your worth is determined by Jesus Christ and by Jesus Christ alone. And His word says you are to die for. So if you want to ever know how beautiful you are, how wonderful you are, how lovely you are, just look to the one that hang upon that cross and He said, you are to die for. And He still feels the same way about you, by the way. And if someone has rejected you, if someone has walked out of you, if someone has done things to you. And by the way, I just want to say this. If you've ever been through abuse, if you've ever been any form of abuse, I want you to know that Jesus Christ always sides with the accuser. Always. Jesus Christ, of the lady that they are busy wanting to stone, Jesus says, listen, where are your accusers choosing her side? So if you're going through a situation right now, this is so important, ladies, listen to me. If you're going through a situation right now that you are feeling abused physically, spiritually, or emotionally, whatever it might be, know Jesus is on your side. He's on your side. He's always on the side of the accuser, the one that's getting accused. The one that is getting mishandled, Jesus is always on those people's side. He's always on your side. Amen. And one of the things we need, gentlemen, if I can just say to you in 2 seconds flat, is we need men that love their women well. Because in South Africa, we have a massive problem, and that is men that don't love their women well. And men that don't love their women well will cause a lot of things that is not of God. Amen. And let me just say this, I'll preach another day on that. But ladies are definitely not weaker. I know ladies that are very capable. And so ladies are not weaker. Ladies are maybe physically here and there a little bit weaker, depending who's the man. Also want to say that. But ladies, we just want you to know that we love you very, very much. And God is always on your side. True story. And so I want to just focus on and just say again, the Old Testament is called the work of the Father. Amen. New Testament is called the work of the Son. And the Holy Spirit is called the work of now. And so I want you to see something here when I saw this, it struck me. I've never seen this in the Word of the Lord, and I want to be revelatory this morning just for a moment. And there we are, just share the gospel and get it out. But I want you just to see something here. Jesus, in John chapter number 20, He does something extraordinary. Jesus, in John chapter number 20, He calls His disciples together, and then the Bible says He breathes on them. He breathes on them. And when I read the scripture, let me read it for you, John 10:20. And again, Jesus said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And when He said this, He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And when I read these words, receive the Holy Spirit, God said to me, this is not the first time this has happened. He said to me, there's another time that I breathed upon my creation. I said, Lord, talk to me. And God spoke to me about Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 7, where the word of the Lord says, then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a life-giving spirit. And what I want you to get this morning and what I want you to catch is this power. And it's simply this. Jesus breathes upon His creation. He breathes about 12 men that are 12 men of clay, 12 men full of mistakes, 12 men that's going to make errors. But Jesus reverses. Now that He has taken the keys of hell, Hades, and the grave, He took the power from the devil. The power is no longer in the devil's hand. The power is with Jesus. Jesus breathes upon His creation again, and He says, receive the Holy Spirit again. In other words, receive that what you've lost. The Father did the same thing in Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 7. And listen carefully. In Genesis chapter number 2, the Father takes the ground. He forms out of it man. He breathes into that piece of ground. And the Bible says man became a life-breathing spirit called Adam. And so as the Old Testament was the work of the Father, the Father now sends Jesus, that is the work of the New Testament, and Jesus duplicates the Father's original intent. Come on, are you with me? I know this is a little bit revelatory, but get with me. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. In other words, it was the Father's intent for Adam to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It was the Father's intent for Jesus to come to the earth and take the keys of hell, Hades, and the grave, and then redo what the Father did. And now that Jesus left the planet, we have a group of people on the earth called the church, you and I, and we are carriers of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, in John 20, when Jesus breathes on them, this is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is just the sign of salvation, or the sign that Jesus has corrected that what happened in Genesis. Jesus corrected all of that again, and He made the works of God complete, and then He sends man on a mission. And this is the mission: go into all the world. The word world there is the Greek word kosmos. It means everything that has hierarchy and order. Go into schools, go into universities, go into families, go into businesses, and turn it upside down. And I am asking the question this morning, and I'm wondering this morning where you are at. Are you still hungry? Are you still thirsty for God? Are you still saying, but I have the breath of life inside of me? Are we still convinced that we carry the supernatural inside of us? Come on, church, are you there with me? Just type amen or say something with me here. Because are we still convinced that we carry the power? And as I was reading this, the Lord took me to Matthew chapter number 9, verse number 27. And I'll bring a couple of thoughts together for you. In Matthew chapter number 9, verse number 27, the Bible says, "And Jesus went on from there, and two blind men followed Him, calling out, 'Have mercy on us, Son of David.'" Listen again. "And Jesus went on from there, and two blind men followed Him, calling out, 'Have mercy on us, Son of David.'" Now, if you can carry the power of this word followed, you're going to get a massive change in your life today. I want you to actually underline this word followed. The word followed here means that you stay, you stick, you don't leave, and you stay with this side. And I want you to get what's busy happening here. Jesus has left the scene. Jesus has left the scene. Jesus is going. And the Bible says this, listen again. "And Jesus went on from there, and two blind men followed Him." The word blind, they're blind. They don't see. They don't have sight. The word followed means persistence. In other words, Jesus has left. He's going. He doesn't feel the power to heal. He doesn't feel the power to change these people's condition. He doesn't feel the power to give them sight back. Because the Bible says many times in the New Testament, Scripture says that the Holy Spirit was present to heal. But Jesus is not feeling it, so He's leaving. And I want you to imagine, these people are blind. They can't see anything. Yet, in their blindness, they're calling. And the Bible says something very profound here. The Bible says following. The word following means they persisted. In other words, they became an irritation. They became an irritation for their miracle. And so they made up their minds. Listen to this. They made up their minds that they will not leave Jesus until they touched. And Jesus knew if He doesn't stop and wait for them, then they're not going to leave Him. So this is what I want to call a miracle by irritation almost. Because they are calling to the Lord, "Jesus, Son of David, Jesus, Son of David." And Jesus turns around eventually, and he asks one of the most ridiculous questions, I think. Jesus asks a couple of them in the New Testament, but He asks a ridiculous question. He says this to these men: "What do you want me to do for you?" That for me, that statement, it doesn't even make sense. What do you want me to do for you? It's clear. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." Listen to what they ask. "Have mercy on us, Son of David." In other words, they were requesting from Jesus to see. But Jesus asked the question, "What do you want from me?" It's almost a ridiculous question. Yet I want you to see something here. The persistence of the blind men gets Jesus to do what they ask him to do. And so I don't know your situation, but I do know this, that there is a God that we serve, a Jesus that is in love with us, that loves us so much, so scandalously, so ridiculously, so lovingly, that he'll stop for you. He'll stop for you. And there's different intervals of how he stops. Sometimes you will need to be the lady of the issue of blood. You'll need to push through that crowd. You'll need to push through your history. You'll need to push through your past. You'll need to climb back over that wall of your own mindsets and your own trouble. You will need to push back people that have said to you, you need to become comfortable with your pain. You will need to push back doctor's report and people that have labeled you of sickness. You would have need to push back ordinary. Sometimes you'll need to climb over your past to get to your destiny. Sometimes you'll need to push back what they have said about you to get to what he's going to say about you. Sometimes you just need to don't care what people say and push until you get hold of the garment of Jesus, and then the master will stop for you and you will receive heaven's portion for your life, and everything will change because the master stops for the hungry. Or sometimes you will need to be like the lady that was caught in adultery, that you'll need to walk in on Jesus and say, I'm not leaving here. I'm going to break everything I have. I'm going to break my alabaster jar. I'm going to make a covenant with you. I've got nothing to lose but everything to gain. I've got hell to shame but heaven to be rejoicing. And I've heard you've got an oil that can change me from the inside out, and I'm not going to leave until you heal me. Or you can be like the guy that was demon possessed, and you can say, listen, for me to get free, I'm going to go naked, I'm going to go running, and no devil in hell is going to stop me. Society might have labeled me, society might have rejected me, but I'm going to get to Jesus. You might have 12 people that are going to look at you weird and think, what the hell is going on? But you have one mission and you have one bullet left, and you have aimed your bullet at Jesus. I'm here to testify to you, if you aim your bullet at Jesus, Jesus will aim heaven at you, and he will restore you. He will proclaim his name over you, and he will bring you back to the place that you've never been before. Or you might be like the Samaritan that have 12 people that are very churchy, that don't like Samaritans very much, but the well came to see about you. The fountain of living life came to see about you. You might have a bucket full of disappointment, a bucket full of mistakes, a bucket full of history, a bucket full of pain, a bucket full of medical reports, but I have news for you. You have a well, you have a fountain that has come to see about you. Or you might be locked up, they've already called you dead, they already said you're a lost case, shut them up, keep him close. But I have news for you, you serve a God that still rolls away the stones. His name is El Shaddai, Elohim, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah, the one that calls himself the God of Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of the angels, the God that will still split the heavens, the God that is still in control. Or what about this? You might be alone. You might be hanging all about yourself. The one on your left has denied you. The one on your right claims he believes about you. The ones at your feet scoffs at you. But there's one that will never leave. His name is the Father. He's ever present. He's always there. The point that I want to bring across to you this morning is this. Empower, just listen to me. You have power inside of you. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. And by God, we cannot choose to live an ordinary life if everything about us screams extraordinary. Everything about my life screams extraordinary. I'm not here to accept sickness. I'm not here to accept false reports. I'm not here to accept medical reports. I'm not here to accept society's reports. I'm not here to accept political reports. I am not here to accept national reports. I am here because I'm a citizen of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that kingdom cannot be shaken, will not be shaken. It will never come to destruction because it does not belong to this world. In actual fact, that world created this world. And that is the reality we live by. Oh, come on, give Jesus some praise, some honor. There we are. We have to choose. Come on, are you there? We have to choose, amen. Come on, guys, there we are at your location. Turn up the volume. Say, we serve a God that can change anything. We serve a God that can change anything and everything. He's the all-consuming fire. What I want you to understand this morning, is simply this. We need to ask the Holy Spirit again. We need to say, Holy Spirit, come and fill us. We need to say, Holy Spirit, come and rest upon us. We need to say, Lord, Holy Spirit, come and dress us. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit will come. He will make ordinary extraordinary. He will make simple impossible. He'll change you that you don't become just, that you are not just a mere man. Because without the Holy Spirit, we are mere people. With the Holy Spirit, we become sons and daughters of God. That's the difference. Come on. We bear the mark of the one that calls us different. And as we celebrate, and that's what I want us to do this morning. I'm going to pray for you, and I see many names running here and many things running here on all of our devices. My prayer to you today will be simply this. That I don't know what has stopped you in your life. But I know the one that can unstop it. I don't know what labeled you in your life. They called Mary the prostitute. Jesus just calls her Mary. They called Saul a murderer. Jesus just calls him Paul. And let's get on with this. You might, where you are this morning, you might be Jacob. But you've wrestled all of your life for what you believe is yours by God's decree. And you might have been born wrong, but God selects right. He chose Jacob. Jacob didn't choose God. And when Jacob laid his head down on that rock at a hard place, pressed, it wasn't Jacob looking for God, it was God looking for Jacob. It was God that extended read the Bible. The Bible says the ladder came from heaven down, not from earth up. Which means that there's a God that seeks out man, not a man that seeks out God. It's the other way around. And then when man and God finds one another, God produces himself through man. That's why it's called imitators, Galatians 5:1. So I'm not here to imitate somebody else, I'm here to imitate Jesus Christ. Come on. So you might have been Jacob, but he calls you Israel. I like it that God puts it in the Bible. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why does he stay with the name Jacob? He could have said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Because with all three men, he made covenant, by the way. Why does he say, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Why does he say that? Because he wants you to know that he can turn your mistake into one of the most glorious stories of your life by the power of the Holy Spirit. Think about this just for a moment. 12 men huddled together in a room. They are scared. Jesus just crucified, open publicly. The guy that they saw literally pushed down a cohort of soldiers. The guy that literally walks through the crowd and says, not my time. The guy that literally opens up the eyes of the blind. The man that walks upon the water. They've just seen him crucified. Now they're afraid. They're scared. They're huddled together in a room. They don't know what to do. And Jesus, I like Jesus' attitude. He doesn't even care that they're afraid. He walks right through the roof, right through the wall. You would have thought that Jesus would have knocked, knowing that they're afraid. He doesn't. He comes right through a wall while they're being afraid. You know, if you're afraid and somebody walks through a wall, that's not very good for fear. Are you guys with me? I think they would have done certain things. Be more afraid. Jesus walks right through the wall, and the first thing he says to them is not, it's me. He says, peace. Why peace? Can I tell you why? The word peace is the Greek word shalom here. But the translation of the word shalom he uses here has got a very specific meaning. And here's the meaning. Everybody afraid, it's chaos, they don't know what's going on, they don't know what's going to happen. Jesus walks through the room, or literally through the wall, and Jesus says, peace be with you. Why that word peace? Simply, Jesus walks through the wall again and he says, shalom. The word shalom means this: disciples, I'm still in control. I'm still calling the shots. This word peace here means control. It means in my hands. It means in my ability. So what Jesus is saying to them, as he literally walks through the wall, he says, control. To tell them, listen, you've just seen me crucified. I'm not dead, yet am I. And so I'm here to testify to you about a witness. His name is Jesus. Or I'm a witness through the power of the Holy Spirit to tell you that there's a Jesus that is alive. There is not any other way to get to the Father except through Jesus Christ. There's not another way in power. Jesus is the way. Hare Krishna will not do it for us. Politics will not do it for us. Our jobs will not do it for us. Buddha will not do it for us. Nobody will do it for us. Jesus himself will do it for us. And Jesus is still walking through the walls. And I don't know what your wall is. You might have a wall of rejection. You might have a wall of offense. You might have a wall of betrayal. You might have a wall of your past. You might have had a wall of hurts. Because I understand, as we go through life, we make walls. We create walls. Oh, come on, can I have some amens or something online? We have walls. There's a lot of walls. But we still serve a Jesus that walks through walls. So whatever your offense is, he'll walk through it. Whatever your betrayal is, he's going to come through it. Whatever your boat is, he's going to climb into it. If you think you're going to get away, news for you, he's going to come and find you. And so in everything that I've said this morning, may we grab hold of just this one simple last sentence. Is this, can we please cry out again and say, Lord, Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Lord, Holy Spirit, come and change me. Lord, Holy Spirit, come and form me from the inside out. 12 men afraid, 120 men gathered in one room, praying in one accord until heaven shows up. Ordinary men become extraordinary. Why? Holy Spirit. Ordinary men gets beaten, gets shot of rods, rejected, betrayed. What do? They don't ride, they don't run, they ask for more power. Holy Spirit comes again, he shakes the room, he says, I'm here again. What happens? They get bolder. And so this is the time not to regress. This is the time, let's get bolder. Let's take more ground. Let's push back. I have a word of God for you this morning. Someone, as I watch you at the cameras this morning, somebody has been pushed back. I have a word of God for you. God is going to push back on your behalf. God's going to push back that enemy. He's going to push back that storm. He's going to push back that wave. He's going to push back that circumstance. He's going to push back because he's heard your cry. He has seen your supplication. He has seen the wounds. He has seen what has happened. And he's not deaf. And he's not dumb. And he's not lame. He is very much aware. But he wants you to know this morning that he's going to walk through your wall because he wants to use you. You are not your rejection. You are not your pain. You are not your shame. You are what Jesus says you are. Come on. Can I have some amens here? All the locations, type amen, amen, amen. Come on. As I bring this beautiful gospel message almost to an end in the next 2 hours. Type amen, all the locations. Come on. I want to end of a testimony and then I'm going to action you. By the way, I want to encourage all of you as you're busy typing. Join us Wednesday for the School of Prophets 2. We're going to have so much of that. We had hundreds of people sign up and we're going to have again hundreds and hundreds of people for that. And right at the end, I'm going to speak to you about something that's very, very close to my heart. I want to give you a testimony. I'm going to call you for action as I do. 2004, I had my mind made up. I'm going to be the best lawyer than what I can be. But I had a call upon my life that I couldn't run away from. And that call was a constant tugging that God wants to use me. So when I came to church and I started to follow Jesus in 2004, there was not a lot of people that wanted me here. In actual fact, in my first sermon, I don't know, 50 people left the building. They didn't even stay. They left. And everybody said, it's nepotism. Your dad brought you in. Wada, wada, wada. And I said to God, this is the one thing. I said, Jesus, I want your power. And Jesus said to me, if you want my power, you'll need to come and seek for me. I said, deal. And so I started to seek the Lord like a person that's went mad. Because I thought to myself, if I ever want to do ministry, I'll need to get Jesus. Because I can't represent Him if I don't know what He represents. And so I chased heaven, day in, day out, day in, day out. I lost a couple of years because I chased Him so hard. Forgot some of my children's, and please don't ever follow exactly the way I did it. It's things I regret because I chased after Jesus. I forgot certain things because I was so hungry just to have a touch. So thirsty just to have a touch of the Master. In 2006, 22 February, 6 o'clock in the morning, when I closed my eyes to pray, I had an encounter of Jesus. First time in my life, I saw heaven, I saw what's to come, I saw. And that encounter changed me from the inside out. Then many things happened during my ministry, and he said, no, it's not time for that. The point is, in everything that I've ever faced in my life, I can't deny the fact that I've seen what I've seen. And I can't deny the fact that heaven is real, hell is real, and Jesus is for the taking. And so my call upon you in Power Churches is that you will never, ever, ever live the ordinary life. Because you're not called to be ordinary. And you might have faced a lot of stuff. Me too. Jesus too, Paul too, Peter too, John too, James too, Samson too, Jeremiah too, Hezekiah too, Adam too, Eve too. Everybody did. However, everybody ended better than what they started. Why? There was a Holy Spirit in between. And so this morning, I want to call upon you. And this will be my call. It's time to pray. It's time to fall in love. It's time to seek the Master. It's time to lay aside the stupid stuff of this world, because it is failing, by the way. And to seek the King that has everything. He has got restoration. He's got healing. He has got your name. He has got your future. He has already poured His blood on your past. And the only thing you need to do this morning is say, hey, Jesus, I want to get you. I don't care about anything else. I care about you, Lord. And run after Jesus with everything you've got. And when you do, I understand what Paul the Apostle says in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 38 to 39. I lived it. No height. Because there's times that you'll feel high. No depth. There's times that you're going to feel crazy low. Not a devil which will whisper to you suggestions. Not principalities when you sometimes feel you're going to lose it. Not heaven, not hell will separate you from the love of God that chases you down through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to say to you that there's a power chasing you. His name is the Holy Spirit. He's not an it. He's not a wind. He's not the oil. He's not a dove. He's a person. And he's your paraclete. He's your paracletos. He's right next to you. And he's begging you as a gentleman. Sorry, Holy Spirit. He's not begging you. He's asking you. Allow me in. Allow me in. Allow me in. And you know what he'll do? He's going to come into your life. He's going to sort out your life. He's going to bring restoration. He's going to bring healing. He's going to bring healing. And so I want to use this opportunity to pray for you. And there we are. You know what I'm talking about. If you say to me this morning, Gebot, I know I'm not ordinary, then you are the person I need to pray for this morning. Because you need to shake off your prison. You need to shake off your wall. You need to shake off your label. You need to shake off your reports. And you need to grab hold of to Jesus. And He will give His power to you so that you will never, ever, 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 ever be the same. Come on. He turned Paul, Saul to Paul. He turned Simon to Peter. He made a harlot His champion, the first evangelist, a woman, a beautiful woman that was once broken. Oh, come on, I can preach for hours. Once broken. But she made an exchange that nobody could take from her. Think about how many men misused her and abused her. But then she came to the one that will never do that. And He said, listen, let me change your destiny. Let me give you My oil. And guess what? When all the other disciples were running, she stood unashamed. She said, come at me. Why? You can't take what I have. Your whips can't take My heart that has been healed. Your scorning cannot take My soul that has been restored. Your stares, the looks that you want to give me, cannot take the encounter that I've had with Jesus. And that's the bottom line point. Once He changed you from the inside out, He doesn't care what other people say. You're better than that. Come on. Oh, just keep coming. There we are. Just give Jesus Christ a praise offering. Just give Him a praise offering. So I want to pray for you. I want you to lift your hands. I want to prophesy as well. I saw one or two of the names here as my team put it on that caught my eyes. But I want you to lift your hands. There we are in your homes and on all the locations this morning. I want you to trust God. Do we still believe that He can change? Come on, do you believe that there's no distance? Come on, in power. Come on, do you believe? So there we are, lift those hands. Lift those hands and let me pray. You are not ordinary. You are not ordinary. And I want you this morning to mean what you do. As you, there you are, won't you take a decision. Stand this morning and lift your hands to the Lord and say, Lord, here am I. I don't want to be the same. I don't want to be ordinary. I don't want to live my life with labels and systems and commas and pauses and chapters that, no, God, I want to fulfill my life. I want to live my life. If that's you this morning, you say, I'm tired of the labels. I'm just tired. I'm exhausted on the labels. Then it's you that needs to stand. If you're there, you say, I'm just tired of the chapters that people want to write over my life. I'm just going to shake it off. Then I'm talking to you this morning. If you're there, you say, Lord Jesus, use me. I want to be the one that's filled with power. Then you need to stand and lift your hands. Because Jesus is still looking for a man and a woman that He can use. And so, Father, I pray this morning, Father, as people lift their hands wherever they are located this morning, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that right now, Lord, that they where they are, Father, that the power will come upon them in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that right now in this moment, Father, that You will touch them. Father, I pray that Your Spirit will go into every room, every location. I pray for Cape Town, Durban, Lord, Secunda, Kroonstad, Witbank. Lord, I pray for Johannesburg. I pray, Father, for wherever people are watching me from. Lord, that right now that Your power will fill those rooms, that Your power will fill those vessels, Lord, and that once again people will be baptized in the power of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord Jesus, that right now, Lord, that You'll fill people from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Father, I pray right now that people will be changed into the other man. Father, I pray that right now, Lord, that people from the inside, that things will break off. Father, I pray that hindrances will break off, that resistance will break off, that chains will snap in Jesus Christ's name. We thank You, Father, for the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. There we are this morning. I want to encourage you. Just take a moment. I want to ask every single of the locations. There we are. I want you to make time to pray for people. There are people that need healing. There are people that need restoration. There are people that need to be filled with the gospel of hope, the Spirit of God. You have to lay hands this morning. You have to pray. You have to anoint. You have to cast out. You have to heal. It's your authority. You have the authority. I want to encourage you. It's something that's very dear to my heart and very close to my heart. And I just want to ask you this morning. And I want to just say that, you know, I'm so passionate about seeing people's dignity being restored. I believe that there shouldn't be one person without dignity, without honor. Are you there? Jesus honored everybody. And so we want to call upon you in power this morning. As we launch the Ladies Festival. Ladies, listen up, and just all where all of you are this morning, the Ladies Festival. I'm going to ask Pastor Shannon just right at the end to come and talk to you again about this. But I want to first just minister. But the Ladies Festival, I want all of Empower, please, to listen. Ladies Festival, the 21st of August. I want to encourage every single lady that is close to our location, Pretoria, or close to the church, Pretoria, the main branch, that you would please sign up. There will be a link out now for the Ladies Fellowship or the Ladies Festival. But this Ladies Festival has got purpose. And here is the purpose, and this is why I want all of Empower to listen. We have in our nation a mass amount of ladies, precious ladies, women, that don't have the necessary care to preserve their dignity. We have in our nation thousands and thousands of young girls that don't have a means to get to sanitary help. They don't have the necessary things that can help them with their dignity and to preserve the preciousness of how and just how the Lord made them. And so what we want to do is we want to use these 200 rands that you would register with. And this is why it's open to men and women to give. Obviously, the Ladies Festival is only for the men. But I want to encourage all of you in power to give to this, because we're going to make up care packs for ladies, and through all the different locations we're going to distribute them across this country, because we don't want to see any person, any lady without the proper care. Amen. And so in these little hampers, what we're going to do is we are going to buy the necessary sanitary care in it so that we can give it away and be a blessing. The church is empowered to be a blessing. Amen. We are blessed to be a blessing. So as you register, ladies, I want to ask for all the ladies, please register, pay your 200 rand, and even if you don't want to come, the team will follow you up, but then give so that we can take care of somebody else. All the men, it's time for you to be men and give extravagantly for this, so that we can give enough of these away so that we can look after ladies that need sanitary care. Amen. Come on, are you guys with me? It's a just cause. It's a good cause. And I want to say that it's something that's close to our hearts, and we want to make sure that we see every single person with dignity and with the proper care. It's important in power. Amen. Lastly, as I pray for you, what I want to do this morning, as I stood here the whole time, I felt such a stirring in my heart, and I want to ask Shannon to come and pray for women. But and then Pastor Eric to come off just after Shannon to please do the tithes and the offerings. But I want to encourage you this morning, and I'll just give you a word, and then I'll ask Shannon to pray. And this is the word that I had on my spirit the whole time. Nothing is as it seems, but everything is subject to change. Let me say that again. Nothing is as it seems. Everything is subject to change. I want to give you a word of God this morning, is that God wants to change everything in your life that you think is permanent. I want to ask Shannon to pray for you so that you will believe this and that the weight of what you have felt up to now will shift. It will break. And especially for women, that you will feel a shift right now. And again I say, let me repeat what the Lord said to me. Everything you feel is permanent, is subject to change. That doesn't mean God wants to do something again that come in your past. That just means He can do something new. Amen? And so I want you to receive that this morning. And I'm excited about tonight, as I'm going to be with you later on again tonight. We have a prophetic word tonight as we share. But I just want to say again, and at all the locations, before I ask Shannon to pray and to hand over, is just simply this. All the locations, please do not let the people go until you've prayed for them, lay hands on them, heal them by the power of the Holy Spirit, the power that lives inside of us, the one that we're called by. Amen. Would you pray?
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this incredible word, this incredible season that we find ourselves in. And Lord, as we are coming to a close of this service, Father, nothing is ever closed with you. I thank you, Lord, that as we go from this place, from this venue, Father, and where every single one of our church members and our new members, Father, I thank you that they have received a word from your heart into their lives. I thank you, Father, that you have never left us. You have never forsaken us. And I pray, Father, that this word would be released over every single life. Father, I pray especially for your women, Lord, as we celebrate and remember, Father, a group of women who stood up for what was right and who saw a change take place in a nation. Father, we as your daughters, as your children, Father, we choose to stand up for what is right, and that is the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the one who was, who is, and is to come. For Lord, when you strike that woman, when you strike your children, Father, you are not met with mere people, but you are met with all the hosts of heaven, the King of Kings, all His power, all His glory. And we have decreed and declare over this nation, South Africa will live in the name of Jesus Christ. Our children will live in the name of Jesus Christ. Our businesses will flourish in the name of Jesus Christ. Our churches will be opened. And they will pour forth the truth and the glory that is Jesus Christ. For He is the only truth and He is the only constant. Everything else is subject to change. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for what a precious word. It doesn't matter what has happened. And it does not necessarily matter what we will face. But the truth is this, and that we will stand on eternally, is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. His word will stand eternal forevermore. And we are His because He chose to love us first. Amen and amen.
If you've been impacted by this ministry in any way, we want to encourage you to partner with us financially and help us continue delivering God's word all around the world. Visit www.empowerchurch.co.za and find the giving option that works best for you, as well as some of our latest resources. Thank you again for joining us. Now go and live an empowered life.